For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. And this is Atlanta. The food, the wine, the entertainment, the lifestyle. This is Belinda Skelton's Atlanta Living, sponsored by Vane Innovations.
And welcome to Atlanta Living. I'm your host, Belinda Skelton. If you haven't been to Restaurant Eugene, well, then you really haven't eaten at one of Atlanta's finest restaurants. I have executive chef Chris Edwards in the studio. And Chris, I personally think that Restaurant Eugene started the whole tsunami of farm-to-table eating years ago.
Absolutely. And it's one of those things now where you hear it so often, and you hear that term so often that it becomes
It's lost its meaning.
It's
almost,
I think, to the general public, but it's still something that we thrive for every day. We've got great relationships with local farmers, and many times they just show up at our back door, and we try to take as much of what they have to offer and then change the menu accordingly to what they have. So it's still alive and vibrant and flourishing.
And that's why you're ahead of the game always on the farm to table type dining. And you have a restaurant next to you. You're kind of brother and sister, so to speak. And
right.
You have Holman and Finch next to you, and we're going to be talking with executive chef Spencer Gomez in just a moment. And it's a completely different restaurant. Both of these were started with Linton Hopkins when they first started, and now you're the adopted parents who have stepped in, doing a great job keeping everything the way Linton has started. You told me that you change the menu daily.
Yes.
And sometimes it gets more frequently than daily. Sometimes it's mid-service.
Yes, absolutely. It's one of the ways that we can keep the team sharp as well. We can change wine pairings.
I have never heard of this in a restaurant in my life.
But neither did I until we started doing it. it kind of started out as just going out to our guests and saying, what are you in the mood for?
Wow.
You know, how much food do you want to eat? Do you like beets? Do you love mayonnaise?
Antichrist, no, I hate mayonnaise.
But some of the simplest things, like a slice of tomato with hand-whipped mayonnaise and salt and pepper, can be one of the most glorious things that you've ever eaten. But you might not know that if we didn't have that opportunity to just say, eat this. So that's one of the ways that we support local agriculture and the farming community, is trying to accept whatever they have. The farmer's market down the street on Saturdays, they'll all line up around 1:30, 2 o'clock.
Are you talking about the one at the church?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like we have our own market on Saturday afternoons, and we try to buy everything that they have. And then that will push us to have to pickle and preserve, and because the worst thing a farmer can have is a truck full of produce going back home after a market. So we try to support in that way as much we can.
So you really go the opposite direction. Most restaurants form their menu and then they go buy the produce
and source out the ingredients. We're kind of the complete opposite.
Talk about thinking outside the box.
You know,
well, you're like, kind of like a CSA. You know, when you sign up with a CSA and you are brought a basket of greens and carrots and all these vegetables, sometimes I get vegetables that I don't even know what they are, and I have to Google it and try to figure out what I'm going to make from that. You're doing the same thing on a larger scale.
So the other day we had probably about 35 pounds of fennel.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, wow, we've got a lot of fennel. What are we going to do? And I asked the pastry team to come up with a sorbet course of 5 different variations of fennel. So we had a sponge sugar basket of fennel, some fennel sorbet, shaved fennel, candied fennel.
So you went a complete, you took it to a sweet.
Yes.
Instead of making it a savory.
It's delicious. And so afterwards, the pastry team, they were like, oh my God, it's like we're working on Chopped.
Seriously?
you got to be on your toes, and the team has to be on their toes because we'll change it in the middle of service.
Instead of trying to take a fennel and make a soup or something along with a salad, you take it to a dessert arena.
Because it's fun.
I think your brain
it's fun
works
to
in a,
to challenge ourselves,
yeah.
Because we do braise the fennel and we have other dishes that way. But it's fun to think of, especially pastry. How can we integrate this seasonal produce into everything else that we do as well? So it's fun. It's fun. It's quite a challenge. I'm very fortunate that Linton and Gina Hopkins have allowed me to be that creative at Restaurant Eugene. And it's great. We have a blast every day.
Well, you don't have a traditional menu. You have an a la carte.
Yes.
And then you have a tasting menu. Now, I'll just be honest. I've never been brave enough to just turn it over to the chef and do a tasting menu from the chef. Have I been missing out?
I think you've been missing out a little bit. And one of the things that we did with the tasting
is... I'm just going to get a bunch of stuff I don't like.
Well, that's part of the excitement, though, is not knowing what's coming next. And one of the things we've done with that is we don't print the tasting menu anymore. And the price does vary day to day based upon what we have. And
well, you're going to give me a bunch of mayonnaise, and I hate mayonnaise. Are you going to... Do you ask
if
people what they like?
If you were to say, I'm not the biggest supporter of mayonnaise... we might frown a little bit, but we would make sure that you wouldn't have any mayonnaise in your
dinner.
Or I
don't like liver.
Absolutely. So
okay.
That's one of the reasons we didn't print the tasting menu, because if you're with 4 other people and you say, I don't like liver or mayonnaise, we can just gently omit that from the menu to where there's not the table envy of, oh, I wish I had gotten that, or... so it's kind of a holistic tasting
Got
menu
it.
For the table. It's neat, and I don't think many people are doing it that way with that approach.
Oh, I don't think so at all. I think that's totally what's setting you apart from the other higher echelon or high echelon restaurants that you're competing with in Atlanta. I don't know another executive chef or maitre d' that's coming out and asking guests, so... What are you in the mood to eat tonight?
I know.
Then you'll fix it whether it's on the menu or not.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. If you want a sous vide steak with, I'm not sure what your favorite vegetable is. If it's within
Brussels sprouts or rutabagas, a good rutabaga.
Some beautiful, rutabaga we'll just salt roast. I pack it in thyme and bay leaf and salt. A lot of salt and just roast it in the oven. And it makes the most tender, delicious rutabaga. We're getting great rutabaga from Burge Organic Farms right now. That's awesome. But that's the thing about the food that we're doing is it's a celebration of the ingredients and the hard work that these people put into their craft. One of the dishes we did the other day was a celebration of Lisa Armstrong's cauliflower. And it was just 5 or 6 preparations of cauliflower on a plate. And it's joy. It's pure joy to celebrate what they do. So.
Now, do you have recipes that you go by, or are you just kind of let's just a pinch of this?
I have a very talented sous chef and a first cook that are kind of the gatekeepers of the recipes. Personally, I don't carry a recipe book around with me. It's more of a kind of like Willy Wonka's chocolate factory of what are we going to do today, which is fun. So I'll come back a few weeks later. Did you write that down? Because that was really
that
good.
That was really good.
Yeah.
Okay, what's your biggest flub?
Flub. What's flub?
Something that just, you know what a flub is. Something that just fell on its face.
We haven't really had too many flubs lately. Usually we'll eat most of the stuff that...
So you just, yeah. I mean, in your head...
We were joking about this the other day. My job has been really just to walk around and snack on stuff and make sure everything is delicious. I know, I've got the best job in the world. I just get to walk around and...
assistance.
We could always use assistance, yeah.
But, I mean, something that just sounded and worked so well in your head, but when it came together, you're like, this did not work.
We had one of those a month or two ago. I can't remember what it was, though, because we just move on. If something doesn't work out, we don't ponder on it too long. We consistently make it better, you know. So,
well, kudos to you guys. I mean, the ambiance in the restaurant is second to none. It's not over glammed up. It's just the right amount. And the wait staff is wonderful. The food is superb. If you're looking for a great restaurant, Restaurant Eugene is the place to go. And it's right there on Peachtree. What's the exact address?
2277 Peachtree Road.
2277 Peachtree Road. And is there a website so they can look at the a la cartes?
Yeah, we update our a la carte menus on restauranteugene.com.
Okay. Thank you so much, Executive Chef Chris Edwards. And stay tuned because David Danzig is going to give us a breaking news. And then we're going to hear from Spencer Gomez, the, would you call it your sister restaurant?
I don't know if I would say sister restaurant. I would say partner in crime.
Your yin, your yang. That's all coming up next on Atlanta Living. Stay tuned.
Go Falcons.
Welcome back, y'all, to Atlanta Living. It's time for Breaking Chews. It's our weekly check-in on all the up-to-the-minute breaking news about local restaurants, chefs, festivals. I'm here with my favorite foodie correspondent, David Danzig, of the website bitesandsights.net, also a food writer for Atlanta Social Season magazine, and, of course, BelindaSkelton.com. I've been really wanting some good biscuits lately. Got any suggestions?
Oh, yes. Yes, I do. So one of the wonderful things about the Atlanta dining scene is not only do we attract great talent, you know, all over the country, mm-hmm. but we get so many wonderful exported concepts. It's sort of like in baseball. You know, I think a lot of prospects develop in the minor leagues. Mm-hmm. And then when they're ready to get called up to the majors, they come on up and do their thing. So as such, we are now the proud home to the second outpost of Cali's Hot Little Biscuit.
Okay.
This is originated in Charleston. And let's be honest, I mean, Charleston's not exactly the minor leagues. They have a major league dining scene there. But Carrie Morey, she just sort of would seem like this ordinary mom that, you know, her goal was to make these golden, buttery, made-from-scratch biscuits to honor her mom, whose name was Cali. But her little dream turned into this full-blown national biscuit buzz. She was on the Today Show and Martha Stewart, and the New York Times covered her. So now, literally at the corner of Virginia North Highland, it is right at the heart of the Virginia Highlands, we have our own little Cali's. And you can taste what all the hype is about. So right there in the front window, you will see someone hand rolling the dough, stamping out each biscuit, and then they put it in the oven. You watch the whole process. The biscuits, they're sold in pairs. This is really the South in mm-hmm. one single bite. They're slightly crusty on the outside. They're flaky and buttery on the inside. So you can get traditional buttermilk biscuits, cheese and chive style, or shortcake style biscuits. Then you can fill them with, they do this wonderfully salty chopped country ham. They do another one with a black pepper bacon. You can get an egg on there, pimento cheese. They have this creamy sweet cinnamon spread for your biscuits. And then they have a signature one here for Atlanta, which is made with these sweet peach preserves. Oh my gosh, so good. They do whipped butters, homemade jams, Carolina honey to slather on there. I mean, this is a biscuit.
Wow.
It's just the Taj Mahal of biscuits. So little tiny cozy dining room. They have some tables on the sidewalk if the weather's nice, but you can also grab it and go, and that's a great thing to do. So,
where can we find you during the week?
My website is bitesandsights.net. Follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And don't walk in here again unless you have Cali's biscuits.
I won't.
All right, you're listening to Atlanta Living only on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
This is News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. And this is Atlanta. The food, the wine, the entertainment, the lifestyle. This is Melinda Skelton's Atlanta Living, sponsored by Vane Innovations.
And welcome back to Atlanta Living. I'm your host, Melinda Skelton. Well, we have the yin to the yang of the restaurant Eugene. It is Holman and Finch. It just happens to be next door, right next door on Peachtree Street. And we have the executive chef, Spencer Gomez. And this is a totally different concept than Restaurant Eugene, Spencer.
It is.
Tell me the concept of Holman and Finch. And right away, I know what everybody's thinking. They're thinking about the H&F burger. And we'll tackle that in just a minute. But tell me what, when Linton Hopkins started Holman and Finch, what his vision was and how you've continued that.
So we always say, and it started with Linton, but we like to say that Holman and Finch is the rock and roll to Eugene Symphony. it's just as passionate, just as fun, very different experience. Just a very different concept altogether. So we do, it's louder. It's a little more,
it's got a bar casual scene.
Yeah. We have a very, very, very avid bar scene.
The craft cocktails are amazing.
Talented bartenders and mixologists, I guess you can say.
Yeah. Okay. So you are really into using the whole hog, the whole chicken, the whole animal. Mm-hmm. And so not sustainability, but really not wasting anything. Mm-hmm. And your charcuterie plates are outstanding. So tell us how you really make use of the whole animal.
You know, it really is about sustainability, as much as it is responsibility and respect for the animals that we use and for the farmers that grow them. And we take a little bit different approach with our charcuterie and curing program. The motto we use is whole animal, whole vegetable. And just like we use the produce that the farmers bring in and roll with whatever they bring, mm-hmm. we also make sure we're using all of our meats and our animals. So just as you would preserve produce that you aren't going to get to, or you're preserving the pieces you would normally use, you know, the greens or the stems. We do the same with our beef and our pork and our, so, you know, you get a whole hog in, and we may use the pork belly for one application and, you know, pork chops and pork loin. But there's all these other pieces that we can turn into grind and make sausages, or we take, you know, whole hams we'll cure, or, it's about preserving those pieces and bits that, that may just go to scrap or to stock, or we're using every piece.
Are you doing all that in house in your restaurant?
Yes, we do. We do all of it.
Well, that's incredible.
From butchery to preservation to
wow. plate. Mm-hmm. So tell me what's on your typical charcuterie plate.
You know, it changes all the time depending on
of course
what
it does,
were,
and it changes
know.
In mid service.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, it honestly does. You know, when you run out of Brijola, you know, we have cured beef. When you run out of that, you move on, and that may happen mid-service, and you just adjust. So we do a similar thing with our charcuterie, as Chris was talking about. We just don't print it, or we just don't put it down. We just put house selection of three, mm-hmm. and we just roll with what we have. So that may change, but we do a lot of Lanzinos and Lomos, pork loin applications. And we do Brijola, which is beef. We do sausages, cured sausages, chorizos, Finocchiona.
You know, my kids love a charcuterie plate. And if you will really break it down for them that this is just meat, cheese, and bread, mm-hmm. and introduce it to them in just to a simple way, they'll buy it. And it's a great, healthy lunch or dinner.
Absolutely.
Or appetizer. And I could just have a charcuterie plate and a craft cocktail of yours and be completely happy.
Right. I think that's what the funnest part about eating at Holman and Finch is there's no, we kind of take the boundaries of what you think of as a restaurant. You think you have these ideas of what a restaurant is and what your experience will be when you walk into any restaurant. And you just kind of, once you push those walls down and you say, why does the restaurant have to work this way? You push those boundaries down, and then your world's free to do you're free to do whatever you like. So the funnest part is to come into Holman & Finch and you sit down and you don't have to order an appetizer and get your wine. And then you don't have to, you can come in and snack, you can get charcuterie and you can get some plates to share. Everything's made to share. It's just a very different open dining experience to dine however you like. If you would like to get a small plate and a larger plate as an appetizer and an entree, you're more than welcome to do that. Or you get a bunch of plates to share. It's just an open experience.
So do you credit Linton and his wife with the visionary of pushing those walls down?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's in the name. They named it Holman & Finch Public House, and that's exactly what they strive for it to be every day, is a public house. It's for everybody. If you want a cocktail, if you want to come in and have conversation, or if you want a full sit-down course meal, we offer it to everyone every day.
Okay, so everybody, unless you've been living under a rock, knows about the H&F Burger. So tell me how the H&F Burger started.
So the burger started as a late night item. So it was a fun, at 10 o'clock, they would do a set number of burgers. It would be exactly how many they could fit on the griddle. And they would do it every night at 10 o'clock. And when they're sold out, they're sold out. And it became
cult.
Such a cult following. You know,
there's people that
lined
started
up all night
at
waiting
7.
For 10 o'clock. Exactly. You know, you come in at 6 o'clock for your reservation, you wait. So that service has morphed over time, and now we just do, instead of waiting for 10 o'clock, we just do it right when we open the door.
What is so good about this burger that makes people come to a restaurant at 7 o'clock and hold a place?
I think it's the same thing with everything we do. It's the simplicity and respect for ingredients. So it's about the beef itself. It's 50-50 chuck and brisket grind in-house from local grass-fed beef. House-made pickles, good mustard, good ketchup, you know, good cheese. It's just the simple quality of the ingredients that make things so delicious. So like Chris talked about before, a piece of rutabaga cooked correctly or a simple tomato can be the best thing you've ever had, as long as it's the best tomato available,
right?
Presented in the best possible way with care. You know, it's the same way with a burger. It's something, you know, completely different from a tomato. A hamburger is the same way. Simply sourced correctly, cooked correctly, presented correctly is the best burger you've ever had.
Now, it's kind of taken on a life of its own, because then you opened up the H&F stand at Turner Field, and people would miss, you know, 6 innings of the Braves game standing in line to get their
right.
H&F burger.
Yeah.
I've seen it happen.
Yeah, and we have the burger at Ponce as well. And that was just kind of one of those things where people love the hamburger so much that Linton wanted to make it available if you wanted one anytime. Now it's available anytime. So that's
okay. What about SunTrust Park?
We will have the burger there.
Well, I should hope so. Or people gonna have to? You're gonna have a mutiny on your hands.
Yeah.
That will be insane.
Yeah,
so, what's coming up next for Holman & Finch?
You know, Holman & Finch. Right now, we're looking at working with a lot of guest chefs. We have cookbook author Hank Shaw coming in this month. We're just cooking an entire menu inspired by his cookbooks and his style, his philosophy. We're going to start doing a lot more of that, working with other chefs, having people come in and visit and just collaborate and learn from each other. And I think that's important from people from all areas to collaborate. We're kind of a giant family of transient chefs and cooks that just all need to share ideas and work together. So that's what we're striving for right now.
I've noticed that the chefs mm-hmm. do not stab each other in the back. It's kind of like this communal family, because everyone moves around at one time or another. So you need to keep mm-hmm. The relations there, because you don't want to burn any bridges.
Yeah.
Going back to the craft cocktails right mm-hmm. now, of the craft cocktails that you're making, what's your favorite?
We have a cocktail that's called a suppressor. It's a cocktail. Suppressors are a category of cocktails that aren't named individually. They're all just called suppressor number whatever, and you pick
okay.
a number. So we have one on the menu right now, but the suppressors are generally cocktails made of lower ABV ingredients.
What is ABV?
So lower alcohol by volume. So they're not as strong cocktails necessarily. They're more of like a, think of like a session beer where they lower the alcohol content. It's the same concept in a cocktail. So they make it a little more easy drinking, but also not as strong. So that it's kind of a great happy hour after work social warm-up
drink.
You're
not trash.
If you could say exactly. So you can come in before your meal, have a couple of suppressors, you know what I mean, and sit down, and you're not too too toasted for dinner.
That sounds great. Yeah. So go tell your mixologist that I like more savory cocktails than sweet.
Absolutely.
Okay, so let's make a, you know, a few of those, get them on. You can name them after me, not that doesn't matter. Okay, so is there a website that you'd like to give the listeners?
Absolutely. HolmanandFinch.com.
All right. So thank you so much. David Danzig is coming up next with Breaking Chews. You're listening to Atlanta Living only on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Depend on it. And welcome back, y'all, to Atlanta Living. It is time for Breaking Chews. Now, this is our weekly check-in on all the up-to-the-minute breaking news about local restaurants, chefs, festivals. I'm here with our favorite foodie correspondent, David Danzig of the website BitesandSights.net, also a food writer for Atlanta Social Season Magazine, and, of course, BelindaSkelton.com. So, major news in the barbecue buzz.
Yeah, that's right. So, earlier in the show, we talked about Cali's Hot Little Biscuit, that world-class biscuit import from Charleston. Well, we have another smoking hot import, and this one's from another southern port city, Savannah. So, it's a great story. Pitmaster Brian Furman, the guy was a welder, and he figured out that he had a gift for smoking meats.
He
roasted a whole hog for his daughter's birthday party, and people went crazy. So a couple years later, he and his wife, Nikki, took the leap. They opened up their own place, and they source only these purebred, pasture-raised, heritage breed hogs. And they smoke them about 12 hours over cherry wood and oak. So quickly in Savannah, these lines started to form, and Southern Living, Garden and Gun, a bunch of national press started to circle around. Well, they had an equipment fire, and the restaurant burned down in 2015. So 4 months later, with the help of all his fellow pitmasters and the whole Savannah community, they roared back to life. And now they have a second location over on the west side. It's in this cozy little house off of the Bolton Road over in the Riverside area. That's kind of your neck of the woods.
Yeah, it's kind of my neck of the woods.
So if you have to pigeonhole the style, it's South Carolina. So soft, smoky, salty meats. They really don't require sauce to enjoy. The only thing they offer is they do a spicy vinegar and a Carolina mustard that you can put on the barbecue. And they're made with Georgia peaches. That's a little, you know, hometown signature here. But I had the pulled pork and the chicken and the brisket and the ribs. Yes, I am a hog.
My word.
They're perfect by themselves. And I can also absolutely vouch for the sides. You know, crispy pig skins. He does these fried pickles. The collard greens were absolutely spectacular. Crackling cornbread. He also puts a savory hoe cake with every plate. That you must have.
I love
hoe cakes. It's an absolutely quintessential barbecue experience here in Atlanta. If you're one of those people that has your little barbecue trail, put B's Cracklin Barbecue right on that list.
Oh, and it's named after me. Great. Where can we find you during the week?
My website is BitesandSights.net, and you can find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as Bites and Sights.
I have a feeling I'm going to be at B's Barbecue tonight.
Perfect.
All right, you're listening to Atlanta Living only on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Depend on it.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.